Our study tonight is out of Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 to 51. Christ as Israel's Messiah, seen in his second coming judgment of people. Much misinterpretation has occurred in church history regarding Jesus' Matthew 24 to 25 end time prophecies. We thus view his parables in Matthew 24, 42 to 51 about those who will experience the Great Tribulation and of their accountability to him at his second coming for insight and lessons for us who live and who serve him today. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 to 51. Jesus is speaking, he's giving the Olivet Discourse here, and he says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them food in their due season? Blessed is that slave whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Truly I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he does not look for him, and in an hour when he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Okay, after predicting his second coming in Matthew 24, 29 to 41 that we covered last Wednesday, Jesus in Matthew 24, 42 began to address the need for those on the earth in the future, Great Tribulation, to prepare themselves for his return. Once again, we're remembering this is not dealing with the church. This is dealing with people living on the earth during the Great Tribulation that is yet to come. Accordingly, using the analogy of a watching householder, Jesus told those in the future Great Tribulation to prepare themselves to meet him, since they would not know the exact time of his arrival. Though God's timeline regarding the future Great Tribulation has a definite starting time and a definite ending time in the 70th week of Daniel chapter 9, many who will be living in the tumultuous Great Tribulation era will not easily recognize or identify the exact time of his return, much as a householder who knows a thief will come in the night to steal still does not know the exact moment the thief will arrive. Now, there's a very practical reason for this. When the rapture of the church occurs, all believers are removed from the earth. So right after the rapture, everybody's an unbeliever. All right? Then they get saved. Well, when they get saved, they're brand new believers. And how many of them know about Daniel chapter 9? Very, very few, if any. So there's going to be a tremendous ignorance as to exactly when the seven-year tribulation period starts. But these people will be aware of Jesus' words about signals of what's happening just before he comes. And when they see these signals, like the sun losing its light, the moon turning to blood, stars falling from the skies. I mean, those are going to be obvious signs. Earthquakes all over the place. Wars and rumors of wars and so forth. They're going to get a feel for the fact that, whoa, the words of Jesus in Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 are coming true. So that means his coming is close. They won't know exactly when, but they will know it's close. It'll be obvious. Accordingly, when people in the Great Tribulation see the events Christ has predicted will precede his return start to occur, they, like the watching householder, must prepare for Christ's return by immediately putting their faith in him and serving him that they might be blessed when they meet him. See, this is why there's going to be absolutely no excuse for unbelief in Christ when Christ actually comes back and his feet hit the earth. Because well before he comes, there are going to be all these climactic changes in the stellar universe. There are going to be huge changes in the earth. You're going to have huge segments of people who will be killed in various traumatic events that occur worldwide. And one of those events will be an earthquake that is so large that all of the buildings on earth will collapse. All the major cities, New York City, Boston, Los Angeles, London, all these cities will fall. You won't have skyscrapers. And that will be something, of course, that gets the attention of people. So these people will be responsible when they see this stuff beginning to happen. They'll be responsible to come clean in regards to the Lord Jesus. And apparently they will have access to Jesus' words here at the time. Now, in particular, those living in the Great Tribulation who are in God-given oversight positions must take care to relate to others righteously, for they will give an account to Christ for their oversight. The servant in Matthew 24, verses 45 to 51, section of Christ's Olivet Discourse, is a person who has been assigned the role of being a responsible overseer in some realm, much like a steward who faithfully was to give his subordinates their food at the right intervals. There is a practice in Jesus' day that he's referring to here where a master of a household would leave and go to a far country to take care of business, and he would have a faithful servant, a head servant, that he would set up over his household. And that servant was responsible out of the goods and out of the finances of the master to dole that out even to his family, to his wife, to his children, to the other slaves in the household, to dole those material goods out or the money out so that they could have their needs. And he was responsible and he was accountable to the master, so when the master returned, he was supposed to give an account of himself. This is a common practice in those days. We don't have that kind of a practice today. But anyway, this is what was going on. Now, this illustration relates to parents or family men or any other leader in relation to any party under his jurisdiction in some institution. It could be a government role. It could be something else. But God is very, very concerned that people who are in oversight of other people responsibly fulfill their duties towards other people. It's interesting how we relate to other people, how we treat other people, especially subordinates, is something that God is going to take very, very seriously when he evaluates people. So if we're in any kind of oversight position, we have to be very, very careful. Now, at Christ's return, if an overseer due to faith in Christ has conscientiously cared for those under his care, he will be blessed by seeing Christ advance him to rule over all that he has. That's verses 46 and 47. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. So doing, namely, he's ruling over the house, he's giving them their food in due season. Truly I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. However, if the overseer has failed to sense his accountability to Christ at his second coming, so that he abuses his subordinates selfishly and indulged his lusts in irresponsible conduct, Christ will return at a time when he's not expecting to see him, and that overseer will be caught in his sin with no suitable excuse for his misbehavior. And we have to keep in mind here, the misbehavior is an evidence of his unbelief. We're not talking about believers here. These are unbelievers, and they're giving evidence of their unbelief because of their absolute, total irresponsibility for people under their care. So if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the master of that servant shall come in a day when he does not look for him, and in an hour when he's not aware of it, and shall cut him asunder. This is the judgment on an unbeliever. And appointed him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whenever you find weeping and gnashing of teeth in Matthew's gospel, that's talking about people who are suffering tremendous remorse because they are missing the kingdom. They're missing the kingdom because they've been removed from the earth in judgment, and that's why they're in the place of torment at this point. So these are unbelievers, and these are evidences of the fact that they do not know Christ. Since the overseer's selfish, irresponsible actions mirror his lack of trust in and lack of relationship with Christ, he will be severely judged by being separated from Christ in eternal judgment. You see, if you try to make this the church, then it means that people in the church lose their salvation because of what they're doing. And that's errant theology. We don't believe that. These are unbelievers, and they give evidence of their unbelief by the way they're treating or mistreating other people. Now, though these teachings directly apply to those living in the Great Tribulation era, there are principles in these teachings on how God evaluates and how God will judge us Christians today relative to our works. So we can apply the principles of God's evaluation. You know, you wonder, how is God going to judge? How is Christ going to judge me at the judgment seat of Christ? Well, we have some guidelines in two areas. First, we Christians do not know when our Lord is going to take us to be with him in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Just like people living in the Great Tribulation will not know exactly the time of Christ's second coming because of their ignorance of various passages of Scripture, they come to know Christ in the middle of the tribulation and so forth. We as Christians don't know when the rapture is going to occur. See? Now, we as Christians must thus not postpone fulfilling God's assignments for us, but start to address them today, that we might be found faithful before him were the rapture to occur today. There's a story that they say of Francis of Assisi when he was hoeing his garden. Someone came up to him and said, Francis, what would you do if you knew that Jesus was returning in an hour today? And he said, I'd finish hoeing my garden. That's the proper response. Whatever we're doing, we should be doing in view of the coming of the Lord. And if hoeing the garden is part of that preparation, then just finish hoeing the garden, whatever. If we're not doing that, which we want to be found busy doing when the Lord's coming back, that means we need to change what we're doing and get busy doing what the Lord wants us to do, because we will give an account. Second, we Christians in God-given oversight in any realm, this could be a pastor of a church, board members of a church, parents, husbands, fathers, and so forth, or it could be business leaders, could be government leaders, any realm of oversight, we will be held accountable by Jesus Christ at the rapture to have faithfully, responsibly, and selflessly edified our subordinates. If we function this way, Jesus will reward us. However, if we fail to see our great accountability to him, and so cease faithfully, responsibly, and selflessly to edify our subordinates, turning instead to mistreat them and to live irresponsibly, selfishly, indulging our sinful lusts, we will lose reward. We've said this a number of times in the past, but a person from God's perspective in an oversight position is not there for himself. A person in an oversight position is there for the welfare of the subordinates. And yes, he has to lead them. Yes, often he has to direct them and so forth. But it should always be in mind for the good, for the welfare of the subordinates. That's what we have to keep in mind. And God will hold us accountable for how well we take care of the welfare of our subordinates. So Christ told those living in the future Great Tribulation who will begin to see biblical signals of his second coming to respond to them by getting ready to meet him, that they be rewarded and not punished, and that overseers recall their great accountability to Christ so as to edify their subordinates and not indulge their lusts. So may we today trust in Jesus Christ to be saved, as John 3:16 teaches. And as Christians, may we get busy today addressing God's assignments for us in view of the rapture, and may we who oversee others rightly edify our subordinates, not indulging our lusts at their expense, in view of our accountability to Jesus Christ when we meet him. This is so very, very important. As a pastor, especially, I look at a passage like this and I think, wow, what a responsibility. Someday when I see my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to say, well done. How did it go with my people? And so I'm going to give an account of how I related to and how I treated and how I handled ministry in regards to the people of God. So this is quite a wake-up call, I know, for me, and I trust that it's something that is of encouragement to us. It always is helpful to know the grounds that God's going to use in regards to evaluating us. Even though our souls are saved, and that's settled at the judgment seat of Christ, we can't lose our salvation. But it's interesting to see how the Lord will judge us and evaluate us at the judgment seat. So may we be motivated to be found, first of all, busy doing the Lord's work. But in our busyness of doing the Lord's work, if we're in any kind of oversight position, that we be found helping, not hurting our subordinates.